Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
Smell that?
Was that the weekend I'm smelling?
Yeah, one more hour, brother, and we got the weekend. You're going to Vegas?
Let's go.
Oh, man. I'm jealous.
I'm jealous
of that, man. That is so cool. So much fun. Hopefully you cash a couple tickets.
I hope so.
Make it even more fun.
I hope so. I'm going to check out the Sphere, too. I know you've checked that out. And
yeah, I saw you two there. Awesome.
I think I'm going to go see Earth, like the show
Earth
or whatever.
Yeah, I had some people I was with, they went see it. Didn't get the rundown of it, but I'm sure it's awesome. The graphics and all that stuff they do there is really, really cool.
And then a buddy of mine just told me about a sweet arcade. I'm sure Kelsey will love that. So we'll go.
A sweet what?
Arcade. You know, play
they
some.
Still have those?
Yeah, dude.
They have one right here. One Up.
That's
one
right.
Up. It's right down. Yeah, I've been there a couple times. That is a cool place. So
great spot.
Yeah, I mean.
Kelsey doesn't stand a chance, dude. I crush her at NBA Jam every time.
So. Yeah. What about Paperboy?
Oh, that's a good one, too. Some of them have the bike.
Yeah, we ride the bike. Yeah. I'm like, I tried to play it. I want to get to the Sackick, so I'm kind of. But I tried to play it here at 1UP. I think it was 1UP, and I used to be. I thought I was pretty. I used to be pretty good. Now I can't even damn stay on the bike. Like holy cow, what has happened to my skills? Right? It's like I used to be decent at this game. Not anymore. So those skills are gone.
So yeah, weekend is here. Hope you guys got a good one ahead of you. Tons of sports to consume. We'll get you set for it before we're all said and done. Our RamosLaw.com text line is just absolutely consumed by flamethrowers right now. Literally, that's not an analogy. Literal flamethrowers is what's being discussed. 303-713-1043. But we still want to know what happened in Greenwood Village yesterday with the police.
In our parking lot.
Please let us know if you know. All right, let's get to Joe. Super Joe. We got a doc coming out on April 17th. It's going to be on ESPN Plus, and it's called Saving Sakic. It's a story about how when the New York Rangers made the offer sheet to Joe, they were offering $15 million up front, and that, you know, seems like monopoly money, but then that's huge money for especially a hockey player. There's a trailer out, and DenverSports.com has this story. You can go watch it. We're going to give you the audio of what this trailer looks like. And again, it's Saving Sakic. They talk about how a movie helped return Joe Sakic to the Colorado Avalanche.
My phone rang.
The New York Rangers just offered Joe Sakic
$15 million upfront signing bonus.
This is a crisis.
Joe Sakic was the Colorado Avalanche.
Charlie Lyons can become a movie mogul.
Life after Mark Messier for the New York Rangers.
We needed to do something to plug that hole.
The Avalanche lost $8 million last year.
Once we launched this offer sheet, they were going to have 7 days.
Everybody's watching.
The connection of the movie was so out of the frame.
Will the Avs match the Rangers' offer?
I had no idea.
Wednesday, August 13th, that's the Avs deadline.
We're going to go into this like warriors.
A city that loves its hockey and its team's best player holds its collective breath.
My job was to find the money.
So it's a great trailer. Tons of insight there. You're hearing some hockey folks and talking about what the situation was. And the movie, Stoke, do you have any idea what the movie was? You're not a movie guy.
Batman.
No.
Robin. Spider-Man.
Nope.
Full Metal Jacket.
No.
Saving Private Ryan.
No.
No, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
It was Harrison Ford, Get Off My Plane.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Air Force One.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
And the group that owned the Avalanche.
Indiana Jones.
Wasn't that Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
I never saw Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Now look at you.
Yeah, look at me.
Give me a quote from it.
The Temple of Doom.
They probably did say that at some point in the movie. You're right. I can't even push back. But it was...
Well, you didn't see it, so you don't know.
Yeah, I don't even know. Oh. I can't push back. But really, with the Avalanche, they were a cash-poor organization. Didn't have the upfront cash to be able to do a deal and swing what the Rangers were going to swing of $15 million upfront for Joe Sakic. They also had that entertainment group, the movie-making company. That company created Air Force One. They literally needed, that's what they're talking about, the deadline in that trailer. they said, hey, we need this movie to make X amount of dollars in this weekend, X amount of dollars in this weekend, so that we can take those dollars and give them to Joe Sakic. And that happened.
That is really, really cool. I didn't know this. Don't know these stories. Mm-hmm. Never heard of this. And I'm excited to watch that. I think that's awesome. Sounds great.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like something that's different and unique that I think a lot of people that weren't around here then. Like, if you weren't here, like, I never heard of this story.
Sure.
But it's fascinating. It's pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to that. That's really, really cool.
And then think about obviously they go on and win another cup after this, and then Joe becomes who he is in the front office. Then they win the cup in 2022. He's built this roster to what it is, and obviously Chris McFarland gets some of that love. But, man, without Harrison Ford and the stupid movie, our entire hockey existence is it may not exist at all, at least to the level that we get to live in with three Stanley Cups with the Avalanche names on them.
Much different, obviously. And that's a great thing looking back and, like, the twists and turns and not only how it would have impacted the Avs then, but how it would have impacted the Avs, you know, here, now, yeah. The last 3, 4, 5 years, where they have won another cup a couple years ago. So all those things, now you look back on it like, pivotal moment right there. Mm-hmm. And if it would have gone the other way, how would things have looked? Never know. Glad it didn't go that way, but a cool story.
Now I want to ask you, is there a current Denver athlete, maybe an ex-Denver athlete that's like documentary worthy?
Yeah, I think so.
Like an Elway Last Dance kind of thing?
I think certainly you could do Elway. He had a... didn't they have Elway's agent on one of those shows?
And, they did the draft of 84 stuff.
Yeah, okay, that stuff. Yeah. Okay, so because I remember seeing that. But certainly you could have Elway be a part of something back when he was, Yankees or, you know, Colts or, you know, what are you going to do and how it all shook out and go behind the scenes there. But also you could dive into, you know, his relationship with Dan Reeves and then happened when Shanahan came along and you lost 3 Super Bowls and then all at the end of your career you end up going back-to-back and winning 2. Mm-hmm. And I think those are cool stories. For me, here's the one, and I kind of put myself in the middle of this thing because I made it all happen just the way that it works and the way that it is. But Peyton Manning free agency.
Okay.
2012.
Yeah.
After the Colts released him, and I wasn't a part of all of it. I was just a little part here, mm-hmm. right? But, you know, he went to Arizona and Miami, and he was doing
Tennessee.
Just that whole thing of how it went down, behind-the-scenes stuff, and then where he ended up, and then how it all worked out here, I think is there's a lot of cool stories there. I mean, no one to his magnitude has ever been a free agent like that. And then there it was. It's like Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. So I think those stories and how that all went down, especially if you could get it from his perspective,
yeah.
Some of that stuff that we don't know, I think would be really cool. Do you think that would be?
I think it
would
be great. Wasn't it
And obviously, I could have a little role in it, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, you'd want to...
My best friend, Peyton Manning.
Yeah, that'd
be you.
Right, that would be me, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I could do the interview and stuff. I don't know. Like, who knows? The sky's the limit for us.
It'd be a shot of you guys walking, like, in the parking lot of Dove Valley, but they've used depth perception to blur you out, and then you just see Peyton.
That's not nice.
Oh.
That's not nice to your partner.
I'm thinking of as a producer, right? I got my producer hat on.
Yeah,
right
you want Peyton to be the star of the show. I mean, I could be somewhere. Like you don't have to blur the whole face out.
Like when they go to pick up the phone to call Peyton.
Yes.
It's your fingers dialing the phone.
Yeah, or I'm the one like, yeah, Peyton, phone for you. Yeah, who we got? Mr. Bidwell. Oh yeah, Mr. Bidwell is on the phone over there in Arizona. No, but it's...
That would be a good one, because remember also, wasn't it Jim Harbaugh that was supposedly binoculars looking in on Peyton and all the stuff from his visits? And
yeah, there was some thing. I don't know how much has gotten out there about everything. Like, Peyton talked about the Seahawks thing,
mm-hmm.
which obviously, like, I was in the car with him when the Seahawks flew to town. And but I'd never told anybody, you know, about that story.
Yeah.
He told it. I don't know. I don't remember when he told it, like this past year, just out of the mm-hmm. blue. And, you know, Seattle flew to town here, Denver, to meet with him. And he was meeting with the Broncos and Elway. And I think we were driving to go see Mike and Kyle. Mm. Peyton was going to go visit with them. And all of a sudden, he's on the phone. and he's on the phone with Pete Carroll. And he tells Pete, I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I told you I'm not doing it. I told you I'm working on this. I'm on my schedule here, right? Like, I told you this. Like, I'm taking it at my pace here. I'm not going to be rushed. And so so I asked him, I'm like, well, they're here? They flew. He's like, yeah, they're at Centennial on their plane. He's like, it's Pete and like four or five offensive coaches. And we actually knew one of those guys on the plane. I knew two of them, and because I played there. And so I was like, wait, you're not going to go just like go say it's hi?
10 minutes from here.
Right. Literally, it was 5 minutes from where we were. We were right at I-25 in Ridgegate.
Okay.
And they're at Centennial.
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember right where we were when this happened. And so he's like, no, I told him. I'm not being rushed in this process. And I was like, damn, they flew all the way from Seattle. Now they're private. And
sure.
But it's like, all right, boys, turn it around. Move, right, turn it around. Ain't happening. I was like, wow.
That's an awesome
I loved
story.
It. Yeah, that was really, really good. I was like, damn, he's making them turn all the way back around.
Yep.
Well, that's what happened.
That's right. It's called leverage. Use it when you got it. All right, let's take a timeout. I want to know if I'm reading into anything with the Broncos sending certain executives and scouts to one pro day, but not the other. Can we get anything from that? We'll have that conversation next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, Stoke, when it comes to who goes where for the Broncos and these pro days and the individual workouts and everything that they can do leading up to the draft, can we learn anything from that? Is there anything to be gauged from who goes where and what's happening? Because yesterday there were a couple of pro days. There was a Drake May pro day, and then there was also a Michael Penix Jr. pro day. George Payton and Davis Webb, quarterback coach, they were at Drake May's pro day. There were some scouts and some representatives at Michael Penix Jr.'s pro day, but not George, not Davis Webb, not Sean Payton. I don't know that Sean Payton's been at any of these yet, and I don't know that that matters either. But can you gauge anything from that? Is there a tell? Is there a, hey, we're tipping our hand, or is this just looking at it as we're doing due diligence and maybe George Payton and Davis Webb like Carolina more than they like Washington?
Yeah, I think it's hard to tell. It really is, because I think every situation is different and unique. And I say that because I think some teams go about and say, all right, we love Drake May. We already know we love him. Mm-hmm. We've done enough work. Well, we're not going to send people over there. Let's go to Michael Penix Jr.'s one. Mm. And now people think we're interested in him over a guy like Drake May. You see what I'm saying? So yep. You're playing a little bit of that game right now as teams, as organizations, when you don't want that team behind you or in front of you to know who you're selecting and know who you like. So some of it, I think, is just a bluff, and you're just doing it for show. So they think you like him, but you really don't like him. You really like the other guy. But Let's not talk about that guy, right? Because that's who we love. We don't want anyone to know we love that guy. So I think there's a lot of that going on. And sometimes you got to follow through with it and say, all right, well, because, hey, if you've done your homework on some of these guys and you know, like, okay, we've evaluated, let's just use Drake May.
All right.
Okay. I'm not saying this is the case here. We've evaluated Drake May. We absolutely love the guy. Like, okay, what's this pro day going to do for us? Nothing. Nothing. Because, you know, he's probably going to do well, and it's a pro day. And if he doesn't, we're not going to all of a sudden not draft the guy that we love, and we've watched him play for 3 years because of one day. And so we really don't need to go there. So let's just go to another place and evaluate this guy. Just take a look and kind of maybe draw some attention away from us really liking Drake May. So I think a lot of that goes on this time of year.
Okay.
Because really, pro days are pro days, man. I mean, come on.
Like it's the same everywhere?
I just think that you can't put a lot into it.
Oh, okay.
It's a quarterback that is throwing usually, unless you're, I think it's Johnny Manziel, put his shoulder pads
yeah,
on,
he did, yeah.
Which I thought was cool when he did it.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
you really.
Were
just trying to show how little he was? Or avoid showing how little he was?
No, I think it was like, how do you play football?
You play with pads.
Yeah. So I'm going to show y'all what I can do with full pads on,
okay.
With my shoulder pads. That's how you throw. It's a lot different throwing with shoulder pads than with no shoulder pads. And so I liked that from him. I was like, all right, yeah, I'm going to do it a little bit different. And this is how football should be played. But you look at it, they're in shorts, T-shirt, no helmet, no pass rush, no protections, and it's like, okay, this is not football. This isn't football. This isn't how you play quarterback. It's a little bit like 7-on-7. Okay, whoopity-dee. So many of you when you get hit in the mouth, right? You get hit right in the mouth. Can you hang in there and make a throw? Can you make a throw when you got Champ Bailey covering, you know, your receiver?
Right.
And you got a small window?
Can you throw someone open?
Right. All of those things. And so it's that's what matters. So it's not even comparable. It's like you can go to a pro day and maybe gather something like, okay, he's got a strong arm. Other than that, that's not football. That's just not football for me.
Do you want to? You want to see how he reacts, he communicates with his guys, sure. Handles the huddle, all of that kind of stuff, the play call itself, the verbiage they're using, you can see all that, can't you?
Yeah, sure, sure.
But it's just not valuable enough.
Right. I think you can gather some things, like you say in there, and I think what the Broncos have done and we've heard is, like, they'll send the guy some plays to review and be ready to do it the next day. But that's in their individual workout.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that for the pro day. Pro day is scripted, and the quarterback does what he wants.
Is he the one that scripts it?
Yeah.
The quarterback does – he'd say, hey, these are the guys I'm working with, and these are the routes I'm going to throw.
Yep.
Okay.
And so you're on his schedule. But if you have an individual workout like we've seen the Broncos do with, like, Bo Nix or whatever, it's like, all right, here's the plays we want you to run. Be ready to go tomorrow. And so it's just you and them. I think you can gather a lot more from that situation. Okay. But if it's just a guy going out there, okay, like you said, what can you gather from it? Like, you look how they communicate with their teammates and how they, you know, how they lead them and those types of things. These guys aren't dumb. They've been coached up.
Yeah.
Right? That's this whole process is about getting ready for the combine and your pro days. And so they've all been coached up. Be good teammates out there. Hey, you know, rally the guys and be a good community, stuff like that. So it's can you really buy it? Is that who they really are? No. I want to go back to the season and see how they are during the game. And I'm going to talk to the equipment manager and the trainer and those guys. I'm not going to just watch the pro day and think that that's the end-all, be-all, because I don't think there's a whole lot to really gather from that. I mean, we've seen quarterbacks every year. We see it on ESPN, their pro day. It's like, oh, my gosh, look at that throw. The guy just threw it 80.
Yeah.
You know, the quarterback for the Titans, Malik Willis, was that his name?
Yeah.
From Liberty?
Mm-hmm. They drafted a quarterback the next year because they didn't like him.
Yeah, but like the guy literally can't throw in the NFL. Yeah. His pro day was unbelievable. So
why do we do him then? What the hell? What's the point? Free content? Let us consume the NFL product year round the way we do?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think you can get a lot from it. A wide receiver, you know, you can watch how they run routes or techniques, how they catch the football. That matters. But again, like, you know, can you catch the ball in traffic? Can you get separation from a DB? So I think there's some little things that you can gather from it. But overall, like, the quarterback position is played full speed, 11-on-11.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to operate within the pocket. That other stuff, that 7-on-7 stuff, that's not real football. That means nothing.
Mm-hmm. I bet Jerry Jeudy looked great on his pro day.
Damn, look at you.
Great on his pro day.
When does the expiration for the Jerry Jeudy hate end?
Oh, that's unlimited. Okay. This is a lifetime supply I got.
Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah. Unlimited.
That's right. No, mean Russ. There's no expiration, though?
Nope.
Like, I know you got tons of material.
Yeah.
But, like, all right, like, after a year, he's gone. Let's just be, like, move on.
If the well starts to dry up,
yeah.
I'll watch one Browns possession and fill that bad boy right back up again.
Perfect.
Stoke.
I didn't have that on my bingo card. Shot at Jerry Jeudy talking about the pro days.
Well, but here we are.
You came through, and I'm proud of you for that.
All right, quick timeout. Want to reset what the Avs weren't able to do last night. And I got a question about the Rockies moving forward, now being 0-1. Well, ask that question and answer it next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
We are going to talk a little bit about these Avs and the Rockies and what they found themselves in. The Rockies, it's just a funny conversation to have that, you know, it's funny, it's sad, and it's also very legitimate. Will they be 500 again the rest of the year? They're 0-1, and that's a fair question to be asking about this Colorado Rockies club. Will they be 500? They don't win tonight, Stoke. I know where I'm going to land in that side of the conversation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm with you on that. If you don't get it tonight and you lose, you go down 0-2. And now you got to win, you know, two in a row. Mm-hmm. I just don't see that happening right now. They need to do it tonight. It's now or never if they want to get back to 500. So I'm trying to look to see who's on the mound tonight. You have that.
Cal Quantrill?
Yep.
From Cleveland, right?
Sure.
Everyone loves Cal.
Good old Quantrill.
Yep.
Stud.
Then you got Austin Gomber. How could you forget Austin Gomber? I mean, that's the piece that got brought back from Nolan.
Yeah.
So, boom, Austin Gomber.
That's the next game?
That's Saturday.
Okay.
And then Sunday, the afternoon delight to wrap it all up, will be Ryan Feltner pitching for the Colorado Rockies.
Okay, and tonight's matchup is Cal, like you said, against Merrill.
Cal versus Merrill.
Merrill.
Okay.
Merrill Kelly. I think he's got his names mixed up.
Well, just like...
It should be Kelly Merrill.
And it says Merrill Kelly?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe his parents didn't understand how the birth certificate thing worked.
Maybe they put him in the wrong spots. But
they were tired. I understand.
Right. His name is Merrill Kelly. He was 12-8 last year.
Good, yeah.
3.29 ERA. And he can get it done. Probably an L tonight for the Rockies.
So the 500 dream is.
I think it's a wrap.
It's now over.
Yeah, it's done. It's gonzo. So I did last night. I got to tell you about the Rockies look historically bad last night. I mean, I was listening to Bud Black with the morning show yesterday.
Yeah.
Love Bud.
Great dude.
I've got a chance to interact with him a few different times, and it's been a few years, but out at spring training, he's been nothing but nice and just really do like him. But he was being really optimistic, you know, about this team and what they're going to do and what they're going to, you know, how they're going to play the game. And it's like, okay, all right, maybe they do have a few, you know, hidden gems there, and they're going to be stealing bases. And okay. Hey, the players have heard the noise, you know, it's like, okay, they're taking it personal. All right. And then you lose, you know, 16-1, you give up 14 runs in the third inning. They bat around twice. In the third inning, it's 18 hitters batted in the third inning. Historically bad inning for an opening day game. Baseball hasn't seen an inning that bad an opening day since 1900.
Oh,
like not the 100, 1900. Yeah. Not like 1900. That's how long it's been. Mm-hmm. That was a long time ago. So that's how bad that game was for the Rockies. And it just was like, kind of, I think it just kind of solidified what a lot of people think and how a lot of people view them. But also, like, all right, what I said yesterday, what did I tell you about the Rockies if they wanted me to watch them?
Ty forgot. Tell Ty what he didn't. He wasn't here yesterday.
You were unfocused yesterday. I knew it. You weren't paying attention. You have to earn it.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Yeah.
I remember that whole conversation.
Right. Yes, right. Yeah, yeah.
It was great. You had some brilliant points.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. But that's what I said, Josh. You have to earn my attention. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to go pay you $100. I'm not going to pay $100 to watch the Rockies unless you tell me that you're worthy of that. Mm-hmm. And to me, what we saw yesterday is just like, all right, whatever, you know, what I thought going in, like, I'm not going to watch much of them at all this year. And that's probably going to be the case because it's going to be a really bad product. And that's unfortunately because I do like the Rockies. I like watching the Rockies. But, man, I'm not a bored guy. And so, like, I'll find something to do,
right,
you know, and entertain me. And I'm not going to just watch a bad product.
I'm really curious to see what next Friday brings. Home opener. And home opener is always a party, and it's really less. I mean, it's not a lot about baseball in general, but man, it just seems like this has been with the no movement. They literally added zero pieces to this roster that was 100+ losses a year ago. So I'm very curious to see what the response is. And look, if it's a huge day and it's a sellout and downtown's crazy the way it will be, well, then you go, all right, yeah, I guess people are still all about opening day and the party that comes with it. But it's been there's already not a lot of talk about the Rockies. Like my friends that love sports. A couple of years ago, you know, it's opening day. Who's going down to the game? You guys want to meet up later? All this stuff. It's silent. Radio silence with everybody that I know that used to care about this product. And I'm very curious to see what home opener brings. And then I still don't believe it's going to make a big enough difference, Stoke, for attendance, because it's a beautiful place. I'm not even mad at the people that go. You know why? I'm one of them. It's a fun place to be, and you've said it, and I've echoed it. My dollar doesn't make a damn difference. Now, 36,000 of you want to come and get on board and back this protest or whatever, I'll sign up too. I'll stop giving my dollars. But until then, my protest, Stokes' protest, Ty's protest, it doesn't freaking matter.
Well, I think when you look at opening day, it's going to be interesting to see what it looks like. It does feel like it's not quite the same. But it is. It's a party. It's like Mardi Gras. Like, people are going to be downtown. They're going to be partying all day. That's just what we do here. And what it looks like in the ballpark. I think if it's a nice day, ballpark's full, places rocking. I do. But it does, to your point, it does feel like it's just not quite the same. Mm-hmm. And I'll throw this off of you, and I think this has a little bit to do with it. It's not really opening day. It is home opening day.
Yeah.
If it was like yesterday when that was MLB opening day, I think it's more attention. It's like, oh, that's not till a week later. It is on a Friday. So I do. I think it'll be rocking downtown. I think that place will be packed. And then after that, we'll see what it looks like. But like you said, man, fans turn out for Coors Field and for that environment and to just enjoy a nice day in downtown Colorado. And so they're going to continue to show out for that. But it's going to be interesting to see next Friday mm-hmm. for opening day what it looks like. I think if it's good weather, it'll be rocking down there.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's the best thing Dick Monfort has ever invested in. The lot on 20th and Blake. And that thing has paid off in a big, big way over the last 25, 30 years. All right, we'll get back to the text line. We actually got a fun question about the Rockies that we'll answer from our friend up in Wyoming. Sam is asking that. And we're going to get you set for the weekend. We already have a pizza bet. Maybe I can get him to do another one coming up with some of the local games that we have. And there's still a couple things we want to chat about with Shohei Ohtani and the situation he's found himself in. Does it all just go away now that baseball's here? We're going to kick that around next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Our final segment on a Friday. Getting you ready for the weekend that will be tons of hoops, big, big games for the Nugs, for the Avalanche, and the Rockies look to get themselves out of the basement already of the NL West down there in Arizona. Any final thoughts, comments, questions, concerns, hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line. The phone number is 303-713-1043. Join us there. Watch over on Twitch, twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. All right, before we get people set for the weekend that will be, I want to go back to some of the Shohei stuff. Shohei Ohtani, who made his debut yesterday, got all the love from Dodger fans, and, you know, he's a great baseball player.
Did he hit the under on his hits?
I don't know. What was the number?
No, I just...
Well, whatever it was, somebody won that bet. What are you making of all this, man? It's something that I have a really, really hard time believing that he's innocent and knew nothing. Now, I don't want to sit here and go, yep, he made every bet. All $4.5 million that was owed was from Shohei Ohtani himself. But I have a hard time believing or being sold that someone stole $4.5 million from him without noticing and that they were supposedly like best buds throughout the whole time.
Yeah, it's that's a lot.
Of the money?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would notice that, right?
Well, you know, I think you would, right?
Yeah.
But when you have a lot going on in your life and you have a lot of money, you know, sometimes these things can go unnoticed. I don't know, was it in just the last 6 months? Has this been the last 2 years?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Is this just like in a 6 month period, like boom? And then so he hadn't even gotten a calendar year into, you know, whatever. His accountant looks at his, you know, whatever, right? And red flags are all of a sudden, well, hey, you're down 4.5 here. And sometimes you just have, that's what other people do for you, right? And obviously you don't speak English. And so the, you have a translator for a reason. Mm-hmm. And so there's some murky areas there, some gray area there with all of this stuff going on. So I'm not going to just say, hey, it was $4.5 million, man. There's no way that you didn't notice I was gone, because that's not the case. That can happen to some of these people.
Okay.
So
I understand that, but that's right. Very hard for me to believe.
Right, to most of us.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just signed a $700 million contract. You got, you know, probably banked already, you know, a couple hundred million throughout his career in Japan and here, and endorsements and things like that. That, you know, and like I said, what if it's been in the last 6 months?
Yeah.
And so
it's not like somebody stole $450 from my $200 bank account.
Right.
Because I notice.
Right.
Give me that $5, Drew.
Right. I know what you're saying, and I hear you, but I just think that you got to also realize that it can happen. And so I tend to believe the guy. I don't know. I tend to believe him. His teammates with the Angels said, you know, he doesn't even follow former teammates. They don't even follow other sports. So but I don't know, man.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that,
no,
like,
go ahead.
How would they know that? He doesn't speak English.
Well, because, like,
what, they watch what he watches?
Well, I think, like, if you're friendly with someone, like, you kind of know, like, hey, you want to watch this football game, or you want to...
Like, common interest, I guess?
Yeah, okay. Right? Like, you're right, kind of, like, no, this guy doesn't really follow sports outside of baseball, mm-hmm. and, you know, that's kind of what he does, and that's all he does, so, and I don't think they're lying for the guy. I mean, so, it's one of those things where, for me, I just believe him. I don't know. I just believe him. And so kind of, I think it's going to be hard to prove. I think it's going to be nearly impossible to prove that it was him, unless his interpreter snitches. And I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, doesn't it feel like the interpreter's, he's the fall guy. He's taken, that's my interpretation, is he is taking the brunt of this blame so that Shohei can continue to be a $700 million baseball player and take care of interpreter's family while he goes away for a bit.
That could be the case, certainly. But that might not be the case. But it could be.
Okay.
So it could be one of those situations where he stole from him.
Well, there's another layer to that, though. And ESPN actually reported again on this morning. Where's the file of charges, or if this guy stole $4.5 million from somebody, that's not a baseball investigation. That's a criminal investigation.
Right.
And where's that at?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, maybe they're in the process of, I mean, you got to do your investigation on it, right? It just came out.
Right.
So police can't just all of a sudden say, we're arresting this guy. They got to find out if he did it or not. Mm-hmm. They got to get the proof and the evidence. So this thing just started. So I think that would be the answer.
Okay.
Right? I mean, we don't know. I mean, it might, sometimes that stuff takes a little while. It might be a month, might be 2 months. Might be one of those things where Shohei just wants it to go away. If you're a guy in his situation, you know, you were good buddies with him, maybe you forgive him and just say, I get it. It's $4.5 million.
Yeah.
Dude, you just signed $700 million contract.
There's
okay?
No such thing as enough money, though.
I'm just telling you.
Right.
But maybe, you know, different culture, different person. Maybe he's just like that. I understand why he did it. And I'm just ready for this to be over. I don't want to go to trial and all this other stuff. You follow me?
Yeah.
I
could see that. And then it becomes this bigger distraction than it already is.
Exactly. And now you're going to the court and testifying and like, all right, now. Whatever, $4.5 million. Take it, buddy. You were my buddy anyway, and hopefully, you know, wish you the best. I don't know, but I just tend to believe this guy for some reason.
Okay,
that you know, that it wasn't him and that it was his interpreter. So, but I do. I think it's gonna be hard to prove unless the interpreter, snitches and tells on him, and I don't think that's gonna happen. Just as long as you take care of the guy and you know, make sure he's well taken care of. If that was the case, if he was doing it, you got to take care of him.
Excuse me, with what's happening with Jonte Porter, NBA player, Michael Porter Jr.'s little brother, or older brother, with what's going on there. Now, with what the story is now, I was going to ask you what hurts their sport more, but it's Jonte because he's a current player, and all the things you just said, there's no proof. We can all feel the way we feel, and I certainly feel a certain way about what Shohei did or didn't do. But Jonte is going to hurt the NBA much more than this story for Shohei will hurt Major League Baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because if it's Porter, in his situation, he was betting on himself.
Yeah, his own props.
Telling his friends to bet on himself.
Well, it might have been him, too. There's a screenshot now going around that I saw of.
Yeah, so it's one of the, right? And I'll get back to that because I heard Zach talking about mm-hmm. that yesterday. So, like, you're betting on yourself or your friends are betting on you. People that you gave that unders are going to hit. Right? So you're throwing it. Shohei, it wasn't any baseball bets, I don't think. Or what? I mean,
there
were
baseball bets.
There was, but it wasn't on his team or him.
I don't think it was on him, is the situation.
So I think it's a different situation there because he's not throwing games. Mm-hmm. This guy, if this is what happened, Porter threw it. And that's a whole nother level. And that stuff, like, you just can't do that. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what the investigation, but it doesn't look good for Porter.
This is a great question from the 877. Wouldn't his bank alert him that he's missing $4.5 million? You know, like, if somebody tries to use my credit card at a place that I don't usually use my credit card, my bank's like, hey, is this you trying to purchase this? And especially, like, hey, this is a big number. Are you doing this?
Well, I don't know.
He must not have PNC banking.
Right. I don't know if he has alerts set up, folks. Right? Some people don't have alerts.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to tell y'all and everyone. Like, some of these people that have a ton of money, they operate different than all of us. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we can't even imagine their lifestyle and, you know, like, how much they pay attention to their finances. Some people don't. Some people do. It's and I get it. But what were the increments? 500,000 at a time. Like, all right, well, so hey, 500,000. He does that, you know. Every other week anyway, so it's nothing, no big, huge red flags here when he's got, you know, $50 million sitting there. All right. $75 million. I think each their own here.
Okay. So he didn't get a text message. It's like, did you just transfer $4.5 million to DraftKings? So he's like, what the hell?
Hey, what's his interpreter's name?
Ime something?
Yeah. Ime, is that you again? Damn it. 4.5 this time.
How's he got my card again?
Oh my goodness. That's a tough deal. Obviously, they were good friends. They were together for a long time. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.